Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
All right, if you have a Bible on you, or if you have an app with a Bible on it, we're going to go to Philippians chapter 3. If you don't know where Philippians is, go to your table of contents and you'll find it in the New Testament. We are starting a new series today called Advance. Everybody say Advance. Advance, Advance. If you don't have a Bible, I'm going to throw the verses up on the screen. We're going to focus on two verses, and then I will expand out and go out to the verses around it. So if you can just have your finger in your Bible, in Philippians 3, or if you can just have Philippians 3 available on your app, you'll be able to trace where I'm going. Here we go. Philippians 3 verse 13 says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing," everybody say one thing, "one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward towards what lies ahead," there we go, "I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Father, if this is the one thing that Paul, the great apostle, the author of two-thirds of the New Testament, is pursuing, Father, we want to know your heart as well in this. And so I pray for the illumination of your word, Lord, that you would help us to see advancement in our lives, advancement in our church, Lord, that we would move forward in everything that you've called us to do. We love you today, God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Just so you know, the title of my message today is Backward, Forward, Toward, Upward. Everybody say that with me. Backward, forward, toward, upward. How many of you want to say toward? Because it needs to rhyme, right? But toward, upward. Last night, I had the honor of going with some of my friends to my first Brisbane Broncos game. I know it's taken almost 2 years since I've been here to actually see and support my NRL team. Since moving back here, I was praying about which team to support because I've been in Singapore for the last 8 years and we don't get any rugby league over there. So I've been totally out of the loop as to which team to follow. So I figured, why don't I pick the team of my city? Because this is my city. And this is my state. And so last night there was a doubleheader. There was the North Queensland Cowboys. Any Cowboys fans here? All right, three of them. And unfortunately, they lost by 1 point to Melbourne Storm. Oh, man, we got some Melbourne Storm people here. Okay, I'm still trying to wrap my head around the whole thing of it being a Melbourne Storm home game, and it's all the way here in Brisbane. Even Melbourne knows where it's at. It's at right here in Brisbane. Anyway, the following game was Brisbane versus Manly. Any Manly people in here? Oh, cool, so I can make fun of Manly then. Because Brisbane won by 30 points to 6. Praise the Lord. And I was just laughing at Manly because, you know, first of all, they wear maroon. Their uniform is maroon, like our colors, the color of the blood of Jesus, like I always say. But secondly, you know, the name of their team is actually our character, Manly. That's a terrible joke. Just preach the word, Pastor Nelly. You're not supposed to be a comedian. Here's the whole point, though. Have you ever thought about this, guys, that last night and every week at Suncorp Stadium, depending on who they're playing and depending on who's playing, there can be thousands of people. Like, there were around 55,000 people in the stadium. There's room for about 65, I think, plus in the stadium. But there's 55,000 people in the stadium watching grown men on a field pushing a inflated piece of pigskin across a painted line. Did you ever think about that? Like, let me just show you what it looks like. 55,000 people, myself included, cheering for 26 grown men who have buffeted their body, not buffeted their body, buffeted their body to carry an inflated pigskin across a painted line. I always wondered, you know, like, I don't necessarily believe in aliens, but I was always wondering, like, if we had to explain, like, basketball or rugby league, like basketball, putting a ball into a basket and people watch this. I was always wondering, you know, if I had to explain to an alien, And they would be asking me, like, how come your people gather in these crowds and thousands of people to watch these sports where grown men are either putting inflated balls in baskets or putting them across painted lines? Have you ever thought about that? I don't even think it's necessarily, because you know, if you had to explain it to an alien, it would kind of seem like, yeah, I don't get it either. And as I'm explaining it to you, I actually feel really silly explaining it to you. But that's the reason why thousands of people will either watch soccer or watch basketball or watch rugby or rugby league. It's not necessarily the fact that it's an inflated ball, but it's the fact that we're celebrating advancement. That in rugby league, you are trying to advance that ball, and it's the fight towards the advancement of that ball. And we all love when the team that we identify with can do the task of advancing the ball forward towards what the goal is. That's what we love to celebrate. Because there's two types of things that nations will congregate around or battle over. Number one is sport. Number two is war. When there's advancement with something that for a cause that we all resonate with. Now, with sport, it may seem menial, but like when you think about the battle of, and I'm talking now more about the spiritual battle that we face. How many of you have come to the realization that you are not on this planet to stand still, but there is a call for you to advance? Bible says in Hebrews 12 verse 1 that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses that are cheering us on. Come on, you can do it. Advance the ball in terms of your destiny. Advance the ball in terms of your calling. Advance the ball in terms of what God has called you to do. But if we let life just happen to us accidentally, how many of you know that just by standing still, you're really not going to grow? You're really not going to advance or experience what God has called you to. And so today and throughout this whole series, we're going to be talking about the advancement of yourself as well as this church and the will and the purposes of God. Turn to somebody, encourage them. You have a purpose. You are not an accident. Now let's break this passage down, everybody. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, and I want you to read it not just as brothers, but brothers and sisters. This is inclusive of all of us. It says, I do not consider that I have made it my own. This is the Apostle Paul, okay? He's writing to the church at Philippi. Now, the church of Philippi was not even a church that he's had the opportunity to visit yet. In fact, he died without ever visiting them. But they were supporters of his ministry. They supported him financially. They supported him in prayer. So they were good friends with Paul. And Paul is writing this letter to the Philippians to encourage their church. And so he writes by saying this, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. Now, I want you to catch that first. Paul is admitting, the great apostle Paul, the great author of two-thirds of the New Testament, the great early Christian leader, is stating that he has not even attained this yet. He has not called it his own yet. He's still pursuing this thing. He's still advancing towards this thing that he desires to make his own. Now, if Paul, the great apostle, is pursuing this thing as a Christian, how many of you want to know what that thing is? Right? Okay, five of us. Okay. I suggest if you are a follower of Christ here, you should want to pursue whatever that thing is, that one thing. And it's a typical man, right, that in his response, because he says, I'm pursuing one thing, but he says three to four things. But one thing I do. Yeah, right. Number one, forgetting what lies behind. Turn to somebody, encourage them. Forget what lies behind. All right. How many of you remember that song? The good, the bad. Happy and sad, last. All the stuff that has happened before you, forget it. Now I'm gonna break it down a little bit. There's a reason. How many of you drove here? All right. So those of you who drove here, I see some correction happening. No, I drove you here. You came in my car. Don't try and claim it. But how many of you with a license have ever driven a car, all right? If you don't have a license, we need to do an altar call right now. But how many of you have ever thought about this? There is a reason why the windscreen is the size of the windscreen and the rearview mirror is the size of the rearview mirror. Can you imagine if it was the reverse? Like you are looking through that little hole to see where you're going because all you can see the perspective is what's behind you. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians live this way. All they see is the rear view. Oh, you know, worship was all right today. It's all right today. But, you know, 2 weeks ago, I was touched by the Holy Spirit. I used to have all gray hair, but look at me now. Look at me now. You know, like they compare worship as if you can quantify it. Looking at bad experiences, looking at good experiences, and living in this spirit of comparison. There is a reason why the windscreen is much bigger than the rear view. Because the rear view mirror is there to give you perspective, but also so that you don't hold up traffic for the generations that are behind you on their way forward. Forgetting what lies behind. And watch this. We're going to break down the verses that come before it. In verse 3 of that same chapter, it says, "For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh." Verse 4, "Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more." Now, I don't want to break down the act of circumcision necessarily, but let's just say it's a cutting off of the flesh that is extraneous. Okay, let's just leave it at that, all right? It's a cutting away at the flesh that is extraneous. It's the flesh that you don't need. And so it's a cutting away and discarding it. And so what Paul is saying here is don't have confidence in that flesh which was discarded. Because if anybody has the right to be confident in that flesh, it would be Paul. Why? Well, let's look at why. In verse 5, it says, "He was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel and the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee." So he was born into the system of righteousness. He wasn't acting his way towards righteousness. He was actually born into it. Some of us in this room are born into Christian families. But I'm here to tell you today, as Paul is about to say, that that doesn't count for anything. Now watch this. In verse 6, "As to zeal, a persecutor of the church." So he's saying, on one hand, I was bad, man. Like, I persecuted the church. I gave them a hard time. I killed Christians. So he was bad. He had some street credibility. Street cred. But then on the other side, he says, "But as to the righteousness under the law, I'm blameless." So on one side, he's got street cred. On the other side, he's got church cred. On one side, he's gangster. On the other side, he's glorious. So he is the most gangster of gangsters. He killed the most gangster Christians. And then on the other side, he is the most holy of holiest people in the worldeth. He was bad as can be. And now he's good as can be. But guess what he says about that? "But whatever I gain, I counted it as loss for the sake of Christ." It doesn't matter how good you try to be or as bad as you think you are. I don't know about you. Like, I grew up in a Christian home, and I used to listen to testimonies of guys, you know, that I'd meet, my friends, and they'd be all like, "Yeah, man, I did 20 years in prison and, you know, did this and did that." And I'd be sitting there listening, going, "Man, that's bad, man. I wish I had a story like that, you know." But I'm in the same boat as somebody just like that if I don't know Christ, even though I was born under the church organ. You know what I'm saying? Like, you feel what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't matter how righteous I claim to be. My righteousness is like filthy rags in sight of who he is. And so Paul is saying, forget what is behind. Forget how bad you are, and even forget how good you think you are. Forget it all, because in light of who you are, it doesn't matter for where you're going. There is a reason why the rear view is this small and the windscreen is this big. Because for all that God has before you, you might as well forget what is behind. Another aspect of forgetting what is behind is not just having spiritual Alzheimer's, but it's actually seeing that which lies before you is so glorious that that which is behind you is so pitiful. You're like looking at in the rearview mirror going, "Huh. Okay, now I'm going to step on some toes, all right?" twinkle them real quick. I know you might have a friend, all right? Back in high school or university or, you know, like early in your work career, some of you maybe last week, and you were praying, "God, I know he's the one. Lord, he is the one for me." So I pray, "God, Honda Toyota, Honda Toyota. I pray, God, that you will turn his heart towards me, because I know that you said he is the one for me. In Jesus' name, let's waffle Yesu Kiriso. No matter what, I'll eat my little follow. In Chinese, Chang Ni Bao Yoni. Amen. How many of you, if you look, can look back, or your friend, how many of you know a friend that prayed that prayer and they look back after 4 years and they say, I am thankful to God he did not answer that prayer, because I see where they're at and I see where God has brought me. My rearview mirror, I'm looking at my rearview mirror going, oh, thank you, Jesus. I have forgotten what lies behind and I press forward towards what lies ahead. Are you with me today? How many of you can testify with a clap unto God that he answered that prayer by not answering that prayer? That's right, baby. See, your street cred and your church cred equals no cred. It doesn't matter how bad you are. It doesn't matter how good you are. He don't care who you are, where you're from, what you did, as long as you love him. Let's move on. Let's stay in the spirit. Some of you are losing me. All right. Philippians 3, verse 13. So we've talked about not looking backward. Now, it talks about straining forward. Everybody say straining. Look, this is the only part in the Bible. It's only elements of this topic that God calls us to strain or strive. Everything else he says, don't strive, don't strain. But in this topic, he says strain, strive forward. There is a pressing that God desires for us to do. I'm about to reveal what he wants us to strive towards, but I need you to understand that this is the only area where God says strive or strain. Everything else, he's already paid the price. And so we rest in his salvation. We rest in his grace. But this area, he says strive or strain. David, the great psalmist, the great king of Israel in the Old Testament, he writes in Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing, again, another dude talking about one thing and goes on to say three things. One thing that I ask, that which I will seek after, meaning he hasn't attained it yet, he hasn't grabbed it yet, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, gaze upon his beauty, and inquire in his temple. Like, David is pursuing this thing. David is chasing after this thing, the same thing that Paul is chasing after here. I need you to catch this. This is so vital in your Christianity. Back a couple of verses, it says in Philippians 3, verse 11, that by any means possible, I may attain. Everybody say, any means possible. What in your life would you do anything that you could possibly do to attain? God would challenge you to say, if it is not the glory and the relationship that you can have with our glorious King, then what you are doing by any means necessary is actually pointless. Paul even goes on to say a verse earlier than this about his accolades, being the baddest of the bad and being the holiest of the holy. He says, I count it all rubbish but to know God. Actually, in the Greek, it's a much stronger word than rubbish. It's more like dung or manure. There are stronger words in your own language that I'm sure you may have heard somebody say. But that is how disgusting it is when he compares his accolades, his degrees, his career position, his ministerial position in light of knowing God. You want to know what it is to strain forward for? It's to know him. To know God. Everything else in comparison stinks. In Tagalog, baho. Diba? Salmon, elo. It's smelly. I know some of you are like, oh, you shouldn't be saying those words in church. But Paul says it, and Paul says it of us chasing after anything apart from his presence, apart from knowing God. If you're chasing after anything other than God, I'm here to tell you, you are chasing manure. You are chasing dung. That's what the Bible says in Philippians 3. He says, of all my accolades, like the most biblical scholars would say that he has enough qualifications to have 2 PhD degrees in modern day society. But Paul himself would say, I count that all rubbish. I count that all dung. I count that all manure in comparison to knowing God. Can we honestly say that about our pursuit of knowing him? Do we hunger and thirst for him? That's why we're fasting, church. Because I really believe the deeper we go in Him, the wider our reach will be. We're not chasing after a wider reach. We just chase after Him. He'll take care of the breadth of our reach. He'll take care of growing our church. He'll take care of bringing us a building and bringing us more people, one to Christ. He'll take care of this city as long as we take care of chasing after Him, straining and striving forward, forgetting backward, but straining forward. You with me today? Okay, let's carry on. To strain forward is to recognize the difference between choosing God and chasing God.
I didn't want to come to church today, but I'll do God a favor and I'll come. In Jesus' name, I will live. I already died. I chose to be here. I chose to be here.
There's a difference. Is your Christianity about choosing Him or chasing Him? Because if it's about choosing Him, your theology is incorrect. He chose you. He actually selected you. Out of all the unsaved people in Brisbane City right now, He chose you to hear this message. You could be somebody else outside chasing after something else. And understand this, guys. Another attribute of worship is the chase. It's the primary thing you chase. What can you honestly say is the primary thing that you pursue in life? Is it finances? Is it career advancement? Is it popularity? Is it to have more friends? Is it to have more Facebook friends? What are you chasing? Ask yourself, what are you chasing? Can you honestly say it? Look, even get this. This is going to be revelatory for a lot of people in here. But you can even chase ministry without chasing God. And disguise your spiritual activity for a pursuit of God. Your spiritual activity is a thank you for what He's already done. It's not in lieu of what He's already done, trying to do what He's done. But some of us are like, yeah, well, Pastor Nelly, I run 17 life groups. I run all these life groups. Pastor Nelly, I'm serving in this ministry, that ministry, this, you know, I do this, I do that. But do you know Him? Are you straining forward to know Him? See, that's the difference. We want to be a church that doesn't choose God. We chase Him. He chose us. We chase Him. How many of you, honestly, in your spirit, like, are feeling like we sang earlier, there's an awakening that's happening in you, like, wow, I want to chase after God. I don't want to just dilly-dally around in this life and live a mediocre life only to die. Check this out. I'll put it in another way. Are you living or are you breathing to death? Every single one of us in this room is a chaser. It's just a matter of what we're chasing. What are we chasing? What are you moving forward in pursuit of? Let's move on. It says here in Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal. I press on towards the goal. Let me just tell you a little something about the enemy. He wants to press on you so that you don't walk towards the goal. So the best way to come against him is to press. Not against him, but towards the goal. Press. Put pressure on. Like the slightest amount of pressure. You see Christians just wilting like, oh, I don't think I can do this faith thing. Like you were all fine when we were doing the singing. God is fighting for us, pushing back. Now it's time for the offering. Really? The slightest amount of pressure. And then we run away. And we wonder why there are flocks of young people running to other religions where there's more zealous activity in their pursuit of a false god. And when we have the true God, we can't, the church is too far. You know, I live in Fortitude Valley. It's across the bridge, but it's a long bridge, Pastor Nelly, man. It's a long bridge. It's not Story Bridge. It's Story Bridge. Come on. Come on, guys. I'm here to tell you, when we've got brothers and sisters in the Middle East and in China literally dying and being tortured for their faith, and we can't even, like, come on time. Stuff like that. It's when we learn to put pressure on the enemy and take our faith seriously, that's when we start moving in what God has called us to, putting pressure, pressing towards the goal. A lot of the reason why we don't press towards the goal is because we don't know what the goal is. Can you imagine playing rugby league or playing basketball without a try line or a basket, respectively? What's that? What's the point again? Oh, it's how fancy you dribble. There's no point without a goal. That game will last all of 30 seconds before, oh, let's go have lunch. Why? Because there's no goal. As your pastor, I want to make it clear, our goal is to know God and make disciples. To love him, to go deep in him and reach this city with the gospel of Jesus Christ and make disciples. And so that's the goal. That's what the windscreen is pointing towards. Have you ever thought about this? There are other Christians too. Like, have you ever watched a marathon? I always watch them because I never run them, obviously. But like, you know, back in the day, I don't know if they still do this, but back in the day, when I used to watch marathons, they'd always have the guys with the plastic cup of water, you know, like standing there. And you're running towards the mark because you want to finish the race, right? Can you imagine? I'm running towards the goal, and then somebody comes with a cup of water, and then I run after the guy who's got the cup of water. Woo, revival! Yeah! Give me more water! More water, Lord! Some Christians do that, right? We lost the goal. The goal is to know God deeper and make disciples. That's it. But we run after the water guy. Hey, Lord! Toyota, Honda. Yeah, let's go, Lord. I got a sore back. I can't lift my legs. All right, stop laughing at my running. Should have pumped my shoes. I press on towards the goal. Those who are listening by podcast, I just ran a whole kilometer on stage. I run towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Just take a moment and just close your eyes and think about this for a moment. He called you. Now, when we talk about calls, we're not talking about necessarily your call to the nations primarily. We're talking firstly about the fact he calls you to himself. That's the prize. The prize is the call. Before you see a call, you hear it. If we had our phones on here and we didn't have it on vibrate, remember back in the day before phones had vibrate, and the phone started ringing, we'd hear the call before we see it, and then we'd pursue the phone. A lot of us need to understand, keep your eyes closed, that God calls us to himself. He says, my son, my daughter, it is finished. Everything that you've done in the past, the good and the bad, forget it. Pursue me. I'm calling you to myself. I am your father. If you chase other things in this life, you'll always find it void of any purpose or any fulfillment. The fulfillment will be momentary. That relationship that you're pursuing, it'll only be momentary. That's not what's going to fulfill you today. Calling you to myself. Before you start worrying about what your destiny and your purpose is, which nation you're going to be, who you're going to marry, just come to me. Come to me. He's calling you to himself. Forget what is behind and press. Press in. I know there's so many things, advertising pleasure or advertising amusement that claim to do what I can do. Only I can do what I said I'll do. Only I can fulfill you. Only I can provide for you. Only I can heal you. Only I can transform your life. Only I can deliver you. Come to me, says the Lord. He's calling you to himself. And you need to hear it before you necessarily see it. You hear it in the spirit. Open your eyes. I can see some of you are like, starting to drift. Open your eyes. This is the final point I'm going to move in. So we've got toward and upward. It's a calling up to himself. Like some of us see ourselves as low, lower than low. And God calls us up. Ephesians goes on to say that we are seated in heavenly places. You have, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, you have the ability now to sit with God. That, I don't know if you can wrap your mind around that. The creator, the pure creator of the universe, the holiest of holy, ushers you to himself and he says, come and be seated with me. I'm calling you upward. I'm calling you toward myself. Now press forward and forget what is backward. Here's my final point, guys, and just as an analogy, the logo of this sermon series features a rhinoceros. Have you ever thought about what a group of rhinos is called? Some would say it's a herd, but actually the proper term for a group of rhinos is called a crash. Here's the thing about rhinoceroses. They are fast, super fast. And when you get a group of them in a stampede, and the way that God's designed them with the horn on the front, the tusk on the front of their nose, they are basically unstoppable. Their vision is not that clear. But you call to them or you somehow stir them with a noise because their ability to hear, their aural ability to hear, supersedes humans. They can, what they don't see, they can hear. So the moment that something stirs up in them, they are basically unstoppable. And that's why a group of them is called a crash, because that's what they do. That's how they roll. A whole bunch of them. Just storming. That whatever barrier comes their way, they go, oh, I don't think I can get over that. Oh, let me just weigh it up. Oh, I don't know. They just bust right through it because they recognize that they've got authority because of their size and the way that God has made them. Now, I'm not saying anything about your size other than to say a lot about the size of your God. If you really know the size of your God, it becomes a lot easier for you to crash through any barrier that the enemy may put in your way. Because you hear a calling. He ushers you with an upward calling. He says, come, come, come. In Chinese, lai, lai, lai. And there comes a time when the rhinos just start charging and start coming forward. They advance with this resilience, knowing that nothing, absolutely nothing's going to stop them. They're ready to crash. How many of you, with a surrendered heart to God, knowing the size of your God, are ready to crash that which ever that what whatever that, that lies in your path as a circumstance, knowing that God has called you to Himself, knowing that God calls you to know Him in depth, knowing that God has called you to intimacy? This is a party that God has called you to crash. You know how like some you go to some places and they have a velvet rope and they have a guy there reading off the list. I'm sorry, sir, your name's not on here. Your name is on there. When Jesus died on the cross, your name was on the list. And so you just need to bust up into that party like a rhino. I don't know what sound rhinos make, so I'm not even going to attempt. But you just bust in there and just like, you know what? I roll confidently towards my Father who is seated on the throne, and He knows me, and I'm pursuing Him. I'm a God chaser in this place. I'm rolling up in there because I know Him. That's the sort of church we want to be, church. That's who we want to be, a church that is not afraid to bust through circumstances and go into a place of deeper intimacy with Him, forgetting what is behind. I press forward towards the call. Straining forward towards the call, and He calls us to Himself.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.